Good morning. This is your Picks Now update. I'm Kenny Choi. First, the Golden State Killer, and now there's word of a potential break in the case of another serial killer who terrorized the Bay Area. CNN now reporting that San Francisco police have identified a suspect in the Doodler case. Investigators say that he would meet his victims in gay bars, then charm them by sketching a portrait of them before he took their lives. 14 people are believed to be gay, all believed to be gay, were killed from January 1974 till September 1975. And the detective on this case tells CNN that he is going to release an updated sketch of the suspected serial killer and that he's working with DNA to nail down some more evidence. Jury selection begins today in the case of a Bay Area man who claims that the world's most popular weed killer gave him cancer. 46-year-old Lee Johnson is dying from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma with lesions that cover 80% of his body. He says that the company Monsanto is to blame for not warning the public about Roundup. Lee worked for the Benicia Unified School District as a groundskeeper, regularly using Roundup on the job. He was healthy when he started back in 2012, and now he says that he's one of 4,000 people across the country who have filed suit against Monsanto, saying that Roundup gave them cancer.
Monsanto will tell you, they'll stipulate, they have never warned anybody about it. Mr. Johnson made safety decisions based on the label.
There is no science and there is no medicine that supports the plaintiff's position.
That's the vice president of global strategy from Monsanto, who defends that the chemical glyphosate, the main chemical in Roundup, the EPA says it likely does not cause cancer. The state of California says it is carcinogenic. New video showing a Bay Area man scaling the White House fence. According to the Mercury News, the man seen here in the red is 29-year-old Alexander Miner from Walnut Creek. The Secret Service quickly closed in on him before taking him into custody on Monday. Well, after days of claiming his hands were tied and it was up to Congress to act, President Trump signed an executive order that will end the separation of families illegally crossing the border. And Adoba with more on what the order can and can't do.
The executive order signed yesterday does not reverse the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy. Those caught illegally crossing the border will still be prosecuted.
It's about keeping families together while at the same time being sure that we have a very powerful, very strong border.
Children will no longer be separated from their parents, but questions linger, like what will happen to the more than 2,000 children already separated. A statement from the Department of Health and Human Services says they are still awaiting guidance.
This is very good compromise legislation.
House Republicans have two bills they plan to vote on later today. Both would allow children to remain in the government's custody.
If they're then going to be placed in detention for an indeterminate period of time, that is not a good thing. That is not a good solution.
Senators say they need bipartisan legislation to fix the problems. Hanadoba, CBS News.
Right, here in California, a judge is hearing the Trump administration's lawsuit challenging California's sanctuary laws. Dozens rallied outside the district court yesterday in Sacramento. The policies aim to limit local law enforcement's cooperation with federal immigration agents, but the Justice Department says that they interfere with the federal government's power to enforce immigration law. The Bay Area is gearing up for a big weekend, a big Pride Parade weekend, and there are some of other events leading up to the big day. Organizers for SF Pride were getting ready for today's media day and several other events over the next couple of days. Police are urging people to sign up for emergency alert text messages ahead of Sunday's big parade. And you can sign up by texting SF Pride to this number. It's 888-777. KPIX 5, also a proud sponsor of the 2018 Pride Parade. We'll have live streaming coverage beginning Sunday morning at 10:30 on KPIX.com. Let's get a check of traffic and weather. Jacqueline is tracking our morning commute.
Oh, I want that music to keep playing for this traffic report. All right. Well, we are tracking a couple of problems out on the roadways. But first, if you are planning on heading to Pride, please use mass transit. They're saying that's the best way to get into the downtown area. It is going to be nuts on the roadways, and many road closures will be in effect. BART and Muni will be adding extra trains and buses to their service, and they will be running much longer. So keep that in mind and plan ahead. Get your Clipper card before Sunday. We'll take it over to the Benicia Bridge where we're tracking a problem. This is in the northbound direction, and it's right as you're approaching 780. Looks like CHP and other work crews are on the scene due to some metal that was sticking up from the bridge in the roadway. So two lanes remain closed. CHP says it could be all day before they get this reopened. Right now, we're really not seeing a big backup because of this. But later on this afternoon, for the afternoon and evening commute, oh yes, it's likely to get very slow. So if this is part of your route, please plan ahead. Give yourself some extra time. If you know someone who travels that way, give them a call. Here is 80 at Powell. We have reports of a new crash, and we're definitely still seeing those slowdowns for folks making their way towards the maze there, the Berkeley Curve, heading on over to the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, where we are in the yellow, tracking a travel time a little over 15 minutes into San Francisco. Over at the Richmond San Rafael Bridge, we had an earlier crash. It really tied traffic up. It looks like those lanes have been cleared and traffic is starting to move again, but we're still in the red, over a 45-minute ride just to cross the span there. So that is going to be a rough ride for many of our commuters. And over on the Golden Gate Bridge, this is just so pretty for the first day of summer. Yeah, take it in. Okay, let's check in with Netta now on the forecast.
Get ready. We are going to see some sunshine today. Right now in parts of San Francisco, it doesn't necessarily look like it, although this is a very San Francisco-esque summer because, of course, we do get that morning marine layer often through the summer months. And yep, today's solstice means the most amount of daylight hours. So exactly 14 hours and 47 minutes of daylight is what we are expecting for San Francisco today, although the clouds are kind of not allowing for that. But yes, as Jacqueline showed you, that Golden Gate Bridge view, it's very rare where this is where the clear skies are, but that is what's happening this morning. 52 in San Francisco, 56 in Livermore, already up to 60 degrees for Concord, so that's where it is clearer. Here's a look at that marine layer. It came through about 6, 7 a.m. this morning. We started to see it thicken up a little bit and extend further east past Livermore, but it looks like Concord, Fairfield, you guys are in the clear. Santa Rosa also noticed a little cloud coverage this morning, but that also looking clear and also cool this morning. Check out your west winds. This is going to help us out a lot today. So we have an onshore breeze bringing in that coastal cooler air from the ocean, and that's going to keep temperatures right around the water feeling pretty comfortable and pretty normal for this time of year. So thankfully, west winds are here now, but this is going to start to shift. We'll start to get a north wind flow starting tomorrow. And as soon as that arrives, that's when you can expect that heat to really pick up. Slightly warmer inland today, upper 80s, low 90s for those afternoon highs. Now, this second ridge of high pressure is going to bring our temperatures on up, but not until tomorrow. For now, you can see it. It's still right there over the Pacific Ocean, so not really going to impact us yet. So here's why our temperatures will be pretty close to normal for San Francisco and for Oakland, just a few degrees above. In Concord, we're looking about 5 degrees above normal. Low 80s for Cupertino and Sunnyvale, so that'll feel pretty comfortable for you there. Morgan Hill, 89. 78 in Milpitas, and then across the East Bay, that's where that heat will start to pick up a little bit. Low 90s, so that will bring temperatures slightly warmer than yesterday. And then here we are in Sausalito, 67 for your afternoon high. Berkeley, 73. Richmond, 71. San Leandro, 73. Overall, if you're close to the water, you'll get that relief. You'll also notice a little west wind coming on in, and yes, those clouds should burn off in the next couple hours at least. But the excessive heat will get here. It'll last Friday, Saturday into Sunday. Here's that future cast. Look what happens Sunday. Still reds and magentas across the state of California, especially for Northern California. We do have excessive heat warnings in effect for many portions across Southern California through the desert, especially extending into Nevada and Arizona because of the ridge that they have. And then once the next ridge comes on in, look at our temperatures for Sacramento Valley, Fairfield, Solana counties, 100 to 108 degrees. Saturday still expecting to be the warmest day of the week, so just know that ahead of time. And then when we get those offshore winds, not only does it make our temperatures hot, but it also makes things dry. So Homewood View right now showing we still have those green trees out there, of course, but some of the brush looking a little brown. And then when you add those north dry winds to the mix, fire danger, of course, exists. Here's that San Francisco Pride Parade. I want to end with that. 74 and sunny, so the good news for San Francisco as all the parade goers come on through, it will feel nice. So definitely noticing temperatures in the mid-70s. Perfect parade weather.
All right. Sounds good, Netta. Thank you. As we take a look at the Dow, down 7 straight days. Looks like it might be 8. Right now it's down about 161 points. The beloved Bay Area gorilla known as Coco, known for her sign language skills, died in her sleep on Tuesday. Some sad news to report. Coco was born at the San Francisco Zoo back in 1971, began working with Dr. Francine Penny Patterson at Stanford University in 1974. That's how the Gorilla Project took shape, and then Coco learned sign language. She became an icon for interspecies communication and empathy, and even had her own pet kitten. She also had an app that helps kids learn sign language. Gorilla Foundation says it will continue to work in her honor through its ongoing projects, including conservation efforts in Africa and the Great Ape Sanctuary on Maui. So there you go.
Coco. Look at this one.
Yeah.
I'm ready. First day of summer, so bright. Right?
Happy first day of summer. First day of
summer. Summer shades.
It's about time.
Summer shades. But it's not going to be cool today.
It's going to be pretty comfortable. You want to take those shades further out in the East Bay. That's why you'll need them. For San Francisco, it's all cloudy. We don't even need them. I don't have my sunglasses.
That's summer in San Francisco.
It definitely is. But this weekend, everyone, grab your sunglasses, your hats, your sunblock.
Especially the inland parts, all right.
Yeah. I mean, this weekend we're all going to be hot, so that's definitely going to happen.
All right, San Francisco. Bring it on.
Summer is here, guys.
And we'll be back with another update at the top of the hour. You could always listen to us and watch us on your Google Home and Amazon Echo device. Enjoy your first day of summer.
Woo-hoo. Fix Now News is sponsored by Philippine Tourism. From the pristine beaches of Palawan, Cebu, or Siargao, to the wonder of the world, Banaue Rice Terraces, the Philippines awaits. Your once-in-a-lifetime experiences are right there in your unused rewards card travel miles. Click and discover the Philippines.